Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
How are you guys doing this week?
I'm kind of anxious right now. Uncomfortable feeling. How are you?
What's uncomfortable?
My foot is hot.
There's this. Should I get some pillows for elevation?
Oh, no. This is good. Oh. I just stick that ice thing down my boot.
Oh, and it
feels good. Yeah, it's perfect.
These boots were made for icing, just what I'll do.
How much longer do you have to wear it?
I don't know. I I'm thinking maybe a month.
I'm glad you have like a raised boot so that you don't have like back.
No, I'm wearing things like this purposely. Yeah. So I'm wearing this what do you call this boot?
I mean, it's just an ankle orthotic.
It's a
walking boot. Yeah,
I had the bunion removed, and so I have to wear this boot for a while.
Which is crazy that you were told you were going to have bunions when you were what, six?
Yeah. No, I was like 13, and I went in. My mom took me to the podiatrist because I had a wart on the bottom of my foot, and the podiatrist was like, you know, dealing with my wart. And he's like, by the way, I see that you're probably going to have bunions, and I suggest that you wear orthotic shoes probably for the rest of your life.
And oh, my gosh.
13, that's not what you want to hear, because you want to be wearing the cutest shoes ever.
Can I ask you a question, though? Were you able to talk your mom into a pair of Doc Martens?
No.
Because those are pretty orthotically friendly.
They weren't in it at that time. We're talking 80s, like 83.
That's true.
When did Birkenstocks exist?
90s.
Because right now.
Well, they're 70s.
Okay.
And then they fell out of fashion until 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Every 20 years, fashion recycles itself. Basically.
I remember thinking Birkenstocks were the weirdest shoe ever, you know, when I was in junior high or high school. But, you know, in the 90s, I think.
Now,
mm-hmm. they're, like, back at it.
And they're
so
back at it.
It's been, like, a 30-year cycle mm-hmm. on this. Because they were gone.
So,
they were 90s. Yeah, 30
they
years,
were
right?
90s.
Yeah.
Now it's mid-20s. It's mm-hmm. 30 years later.
So, I bought a pair.
And I can afford them now.
I bought a pair of Birkenstocks that are platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, oh, look, I'm going to be able to wear it with my, this orthotic boot.
Yeah.
Because it is raised. Like, if I'm barefoot, my hips are all not thing. So I'm like, oh, this will be great. And then it'll be great for my foot when I do go out of the boot I bought the Arizona Pilio, whatever.
Yeah. And you can adjust for the...
My box says Arizona Papilio.
My box says other things.
My box says pee-pee poo-poo.
Isn't it comfortable fit?
Yes. Anyway, they are the most uncomfortable thing ever. Like... This, since I haven't had this bunion done, this toe sits right on, you know how the Birkenstocks have the little nub where your feet go?
You mean the hug and nubbin that makes everything so fun and festive?
Yes, the hug and nubbin.
No way to talk about.
And then it's too tight and too stiff for the
It's too tight and too stiff. These are problems.
From Adam and Eve.
Okay. You can't get it in. It's uncomfortable.
It's too tough. It's too hard.
Have you tried lubrication?
Maybe I should. That might work.
I'm just going to go out on a, you know, like stretch it a little bit.
Yeah, I could. I have a shoe stretcher.
You could totally use a shoe stretcher.
So you guys, I've been waiting for you to notice me.
I'm hot and cute, yeah, and I love your shirt.
You're not noticing
Lisa,
what I'm saying.
Lisa, I did notice
it. Did you notice it?
Have the day you deserve.
Have the day you deserve. So I want to tell you about this shirt
please
that I got on. Mm-hmm. Because this morning.
And you look super cute in it, by the way.
I walked into work and I was wearing like this floral print, whatever top with this cute little knot. Mm-hmm. Looks good, whatever. Sitting on my keyboard. Thank you. Was this shirt folded up?
Aww.
And it was like, I saw this design and I thought of you, and so I made it.
Oh my gosh, what? Your friend is so talented.
Half the day you deserve. So okay. I immediately, right there, standing at my desk, ripped my top off.
You are so shy.
I'm so shy.
That's the thing about OT people. Like, we're like naked bodies, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just whatever. And then I put this on, I'm like, oh my gosh, it fits, it's perfect. And it's so me.
It is so great. I love it. So it's a awesome.
Do you want to know why she thought of me?
Why?
Because there's a skeleton on it.
Okay, so we should describe it because nobody else can see what we're seeing.
What you're seeing.
It's adorable.
It's a skeleton head with a peace sign.
It's a circle with a skeleton head peace sign, and then it says in like around the circle. In the middle. Am I describing this?
Yeah, yeah, you sound good.
Says, have the day you deserve. With sparkles, too. Like, there's like,
and it's like happy and yet, and like a little devilish, a little dark, a little spicy.
It's so perfectly you.
It is so perfectly me, but the reason everyone thinks of me when you see this phrase. And so the other cool thing is, okay, so Brittany made this.
Yes.
Brittany, I'm like, girl, I want you to make us t-shirts.
Oh, she's so talented.
She, like this, look how good. She's going to make amazing things.
Okay.
Oh, Brittany's like,
people buy them and they're going to be amazing.
Yes.
So, you guys, I will have to show pictures of myself in this because it's that good.
We have a social media, do we?
We do.
We have an Instagram?
Honestly, I just want everything to be directed to our Google webpage because they can find the links there for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yeah, so
if anybody wants to see this amazing
well, if anybody wants to see a picture of this amazing t-shirt,
Brittany's amazing work.
Brittany is such a
She's amazing.
So cool.
Well, we can post pictures of it. So
can I tell you guys the story behind
this
shirt?
Yes, I'm so sorry.
Please.
I'm just bribing your dog with cheese.
At work, I know, and they're so good right now. Like, we know what we're going to keep. Little nuggets are perfect because they'll have like constipation otherwise.
sorry, go on.
So, sometimes we get phone calls and they don't always go directly to me. Someone might get the call first and then they'll be like, oh crap, we got to escalate this. And then they send it to me.
So, you're the escalation clause.
Yeah, I guess so. And this particular person was being completely unreasonable, cursing left and right.
But that sounds like the perfect person to send to Lisa.
Oh, always, yes. and it was to his own detriment. And I'm trying to explain to him, like, why he's being given recommendations, why we need him to go see his doctor.
Yeah.
Because we don't actually have x-ray vision, and he has a non-healing fracture. And if we're going to be able to treat him, we need him to be followed by a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He was not getting it in any way, shape, or form. He was being completely belligerent. He didn't want to follow any recommendations. He was actually sent home, or he actually left the facility prior to coming on against medical advice. And he just continues to do this. And he wouldn't hear, he wouldn't listen. And I said, these are your options. If we can't accommodate you, we'll have to either refer you to someone else or let you go back and figure this out with your doctor, but we can't continue.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't decide, and he ended up like cursing me out. And all I could say was, good luck with life.
Yeah.
Because I just had nothing left to give him.
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm trying to be nice, but realistic. And so everybody knew that this was going to be like one of those awful phone calls to have to de-escalate and deal with.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But also impossible to de-escalate. And so they're all listening. When I say that, they're like, and so now that's kind of the catchphrase when yeah. something's like impossible to deal with. They're like,
have some cheese. Okay, I just have to say,
that's where this comes from.
Can I just tell you, when Lisa left where we were working together in therapy, she was totally the woman who got to have all the fun, like, conversations like that. And when you left that facility, I had to take over your shoes. And so then I was the person who had to tell people who, you know, had to figure out a way to tell people, yeah, you were totally screwing yourself over. And I remember I was like, I would channel Lisa when I would go into these meetings. And then the other Lisa who, she was like, how do you do it, Belle? You tell people basically to go to hell and they thank you. And I'm like, I channel Lisa.
I really do that?
Yes, you do. You have a gift.
I'm okay with
it's
that.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And I'm just like, okay. You know, like those signs, what would Jesus do? I'm like, okay, what would Lisa do in this moment? And so like I would be in those meetings and I'd be like, okay, we just have to, let's just like look at it from the person who's making the really bad choices perspective.
I think it's really hard to, when somebody is talking to you that way, it's so hard to take deep breaths and not meet them at their level. You to continue to like keep it calm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a personal attack though.
No.
But they're like, so scary.
This is a situation that they need to be understood. Like they need you to understand them.
Yeah. And it's so true. And how can you look at another human being who's in these situations and have anything but compassion for them? Because I mean, they're scared. They know who they are. Their body is changing. They can't do the things that make them who they are. They're having identity crises. They're in strife. They don't know who they are or how to make it better or how to accept if there's a change.
Yeah, they're not necessarily mad at you per se. They're mad at their situation. And yeah,
absolutely.
Where to vent that frustration.
Yeah, but exactly. At the same time, you still have to have boundaries. No, you still need to explain.
Boundaries are so hard in life.
They are. But
you guys
have to explain
that?
Options. You have to educate.
Educate and explain options.
And still give them the opportunity to make good or bad choices.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the boundaries in our protagonists or
the stars? Oh, yes, our movie. Courtney, you're the best.
Which is, we watched Your Place or Mine. Mm-hmm. And it was written and directed by, I hope I pronounced this right.
Oh, do you want me to do it? Because I will mess it up.
Aline Brosh McKenna.
How do you spell it?
A-L-I-N-E.
Oh,
Aline Brosh McKenna.
That sounds good.
Stars Reese Witherspoon and Ashton Kutcher, and it was released in 2023. So,
I'm going to grab notes because it's a couple days.
Yeah. Well, the how they met. Well, so the plot. Or we need to talk about the plot first?
Yeah, why not? Like, how do they meet? Like, what's the premise of the story?
The plot is two long distant friends have plans for a week in New York. Debbie, who lives in California, will be visiting.
Oh, no, it's Seattle.
No, she's in LA.
Oh, does she?
And lives in New York.
But there's that one coming up. My gardener's from Spokane.
Oh, yeah,
girl.
That's right. That was my favorite line in the whole show.
Oh, yeah.
I did pick up on that.
I get ahead of myself.
But she's visiting her best friend, Peter, while compete. What did I write? While competing?
No, she's going to school.
Oh, she's completing an accounting program. Yes. And her ex-husband's girlfriend, Scarlett, takes an acting job and can't watch Debbie's son for the week that she's in New York.
Wait, that was the girlfriend? His girlfriend?
Yeah. I thought it was I
didn't pick up on that part.
I missed that.
I thought it was like a random friend. And her ex-husband, that peak bagger, that 80% of their short-lived marriage was gone peak bagging all over the world.
He's a mountain climber.
Yeah, but we never meet him. He's gone.
He's a very absent human.
But she can't watch Debbie's son Jack while she's in New York. And Peter offers to come to LA and watch Jack while Debbie is in New York City. And
at his house.
They switch houses.
Yes. But there's one important thing that I want to talk about.
Okay, but the spending time in each other's spaces. The movie's based on, or it is the main plot of the movie is that they're spending a week in each other's spaces, and in doing that, they gain a different perspective of each other.
So that's
the plot.
Their spaces are unique, but the way the movie started and the whole premise of the movie, it was fascinating to me because it starts when they were like 20 years ago, because this was like, they found this 20-year friendship.
They're
in their early 20s, and they are
having
so
a one-night stand,
enamored by each other that they can't even like pay attention to their friends that are visiting and hanging out. They're like literally making out. They're like, okay, thanks for having us. They don't even say goodbye.
Yeah, they're like,
He's like tearing her off to go bang her in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And they have this banger kind of night. But it was a one-night thing, but they stayed friends for 20 years after that.
Yeah.
And that is kind of like the beginning of their friendship. And then the very cut to the next scene, is it his 40th birthday? I think it's supposed to be his 40th birthday.
Okay. Makes sense.
And the camera zooms in
is
on them
only
at an angle.
40?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess
it was a pretty big birthday for him, and so I think that's why.
Yeah, he looked. I don't know. I was thinking they were older than.
Well, it might be TV age, like not real life age.
Exactly.
TV
age. Okay. So she's laying in bed. She looks undressed. She's facing him. He's laying in bed, also, you know, without his t-shirt on or anything. They're facing each other, but the screen is spliced, and then you zoom out. And you see a girl in his bed. And here, the first thought I was like, oh, threesome. That's interesting. That's totally, I don't know if they meant for that to be. But I was like, what's this movie about? That was like the first scene. And then I finally realized, oh my gosh, okay. Then it zooms out enough that you realize they're in different spaces entirely.
Yeah.
And then the conversation continues. But I was like, that was a cute little
one thing I kept thinking about is there's a pretty big time difference between New York and California.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like they were always, I'm like, they're waiting.
They were both getting ready in the morning together.
Yeah, I'm like, well, how late are you and how early are you?
She's
a mom. She's a single mom, so she has to. Like,
you'd have 3 hours before.
And all of the things she has to do for her child. I mean, you have to wake up at 4 a.m.
And he's
to
just
get
like,
oh my
done.
Gosh, because she's so.
She's a little over the top.
She's a little over the top.
And
which we do not judge people who are over the top in this group.
Okay, you're right, Val.
Thank you.
We do
know. I'm just making sure that we don't judge those people.
I need some more cheese. But that's true.
He's kind of upset with me because I've been eating all the cheese.
I'm so good at ignoring his barking. It's bad, guys. So if I need to kick him out, I will.
We should have an economics discussion.
I'll put a 5-minute cheese timer on.
I'm always a cheese girl. She's just cheese around. Okay, let me just tell you, this is really funny that I'm the one in charge of giving the dogs cheese because we hate each other.
I think this is the moment that they're going to understand.
Rivals.
They're going to start loving you.
I don't know. Ever since my cats taunted them, yeah.
that, I'm going to kick you out if you keep this up.
So I actually, like, the cast of characters.
Let's come here.
I really like. Like, I liked Steve Zahn played Zen.
I love the rich gardener who does it because he's just the independent.
I like him anyway. I think he's so cute, and I think he always plays kind of that character.
He's kind of a doll.
He's cute. I liked him. I also really liked Alicia. She's played by Teague. Debbie's friend.
She was actually there the night. She was the friend who was leaving saying, okay, guys.
Yes. I didn't notice
she
that.
She comments back to that later.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that either.
I didn't pick up on that either.
So they've also been friends forever because she's such a deadpan.
She's so funny. Did you notice she has the hugest cup of coffee in her hand in every scene?
Every scene. She's always got her coffee. And she's always got a coffee ready to share.
Oh, yeah.
With another person.
Yes.
Which makes her an even more beautiful human.
I know. I thought she always had, like, the best, like, just very simple answers to people's questions, you know.
So not judgy.
She
would just, and she would never, like, pretend that you weren't doing exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
She's like, we're going to call it for what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not judging.
And she just uses her monotone little deadpan voice to, like, do that and be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I so
said that.
I know. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. She's very, very straight laced about everything. But then she says something, you're like, oh.
That was pretty awesome. I'm like, oh, I wish I could pull that off. I still want it. I want to be that person.
I know. I love the way she dressed. I loved her.
Oh, like, yeah. Her look.
Mm-hmm. And I don't remember her favorite line. This is like at the beginning of the movie. One of my favorite lines of hers is blow this off.
It's okay.
Well, it's strong. But she's like, I'm heading to New York. Should I get my hair done? What should I do?
Yeah.
And she's like, maybe I should get bangs. And she's like, bangs are for an emergency. Somebody says that. And I want to say it's her friend. And I'm like, that's such a good friend move.
Courtney, when people come in, do you like, and they say, I want bangs.
What's the conversation?
How does that go down?
No, it really is. It's like, okay, let's
go
talk
back to
about
this with
this.
Me. We've had this conversation because I have your bangs.
Friends let friends get bangs. And go!
No, it is a huge conversation because I think it's a big commitment to get bangs. People either like are devastated because they're like, I hate it. Because sometimes people bring in pictures of bangs and it's not what their hair is going to do. I'm like,
You
know, your hair is really curly and these are straight bangs.
She's had these conversations with me and I've been like,
I would have instantly.
My
like.
Sister-in-law, too, because she's dabbled with my hair.
Yeah.
She's like, friends don't let friends get bangs.
Yeah.
Is what she always tells me. I'm like, all right, Leanne, you're right. We are friends. Like, I know you're going
to steer me right.
Yes.
When it comes to that, honestly, I just show up at Courtney's place. I'm like, hey, Courtney. So, like, I've done nothing since I last saw you. And, like,
I haven't even brushed my hair.
I haven't even brushed my hair today. I put it up in this cute little updo, which I have
I
to just point
cute.
Out. Isn't
think,
it adorable?
I think it is cute.
I was doing, you know, yard projects and rebuilding the shed and digging in the dirt today.
I would never know because you came in the cute strappy high heels.
I slipped those on just to pretend like I was cool. But did you notice that my black hands matched my black
shoes? That's why I was like, okay, I'm like, gosh, you look so cute. Where have you been? And then you show it was your black hands. I'm like, what's happening here?
I've been doing roofing tar.
You look like you've been hard at work. But look at how sexy you look as you walk in.
Girl can do it all.
It's not like you came in Carhartts and like a t-shirt that I'm black all over.
2 minutes before. That's why like, my hair is still the exact same. Like, I think there's some roofing tar in there if you look close.
Oh, well, it's good.
I mean, I thought you could use some little lights.
I don't know. I kind of thought I was all about the bright blonde.
Let's talk
back
about
to the show.
So the one One of the characters that kind of confuses me is Mika. And it's just because it's like, have you ever made a friend that fast?
Like, I think Mika's more, she's got an ulterior motive at first with her.
She did.
She's like, you're the Debbie.
Yeah.
And so she, in her mind, I think, this is how I'm going to get to understand Peter.
Yeah, because Peter is the only guy.
And how I can get him.
I don't even think that she necessarily wanted Peter. I think the only thing that upsets her is that Peter is the only man she's ever encountered who she couldn't have.
Because he is an unknowable piece of shit.
Well, no, because...
Because that's...
So she didn't really, like, she wasn't, like, actually in love with Peter. She just hated the fact that Peter wasn't in love with her.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, so that was her whole mission, was just to... Yeah, I actually kind of liked her because she was very upfront about that. Like, in my opinion, she was very, like, obvious.
Yes, I see that. But I also think that she's like, if I can understand Peter, I can hook him and win him because he's one that I haven't baited yet.
Exactly, but she didn't actually care about him.
No, she didn't.
No.
She's more concerned about her image and her, like, what she can get out of life.
So, maybe. She just confused me the whole time. And I'm like, is she, like, just one of those people? I mean, it seems like she had, like, a lot of stuff going on. So why is she always suddenly like, hey, you're my best friend. Let's go out and do this. Let's go do that.
Because she had a mission.
Yeah. And Debbie was such a sweetheart that, like, I would be
and
best
well, I think that happened. I think that Micah was like, oh, I'm in here to have sex with, oh, shit. Okay. Well, switch of plans. I'm going to use this girl. And then,
I loved it when she lays on the chase lounge and her response is, oh, that's how you sit on that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, right? I didn't know that sexy was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right. And Mika just exudes that.
So did you like Mika? I actually like Mika.
I think it's Mika, I think.
Mika.
I think she does. She's like, you know, I kind of like you. I like kind of like that. I can't remember what she
that
said.
That 90s Earth Mama vibe.
Yes.
Or something.
I kind of think I like
that. Exactly.
So then she wanted, maybe she was an anomaly to Mika. So she's like, I kind of like this girl. I want to spend more time with her.
Uh-huh.
And I like that she didn't immediately write her off.
Yeah,
because
she was so different. They were like polar opposites.
Yeah.
They really were, but they vibed. I thought that they really could benefit from each other. I think I liked how they appreciated that. Like, oh, I'm not going to get to use you, but I don't want to use you.
And I think Mika was kind of cool because she was there to support Reese and whatever. She's like,
and she totally was.
Yeah. What did I say?
You called her Reese
with
Yes.
I don't even remember her. Her character's name was Debbie. Like, she's Reese. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're always going to be Reese to me. I like you as human.
So, yes. Yeah, so she's like, let's go out and have drinks. Then, you know that guy? Let's go talk to him. He's a publisher you like? Well, let's go chat with him. Come on. He likes you. You should go out. You should get his phone number.
I kind of loved how that happened because... Initially, she was hoping she would get this because he was a really good looking guy.
Yeah.
With
his
totally
sparkly blue eyes.
And
he
was a somebody.
She didn't know that.
His name is Jesse Williams, and he's played by Theo Martin. And
name was Theo. His character was Theo.
Yeah. Why did I get it wrong?
It's Theo.
Sorry.
I
wrote it backwards on my notes. Theo Martin was played by Jesse Williams.
And I loved that part because, so this is another part of the plot that I thought was very interesting. Was they were snooping around the apartment Mika knew about this, you know, anonymous novel that Peter had written. And that was one of the struggles Debbie had is like, okay, we tell each other everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yet he didn't tell me about this. And this is a big deal to write a book.
Huge.
He didn't say a thing to her. So she was like, oh my gosh, do I read it? Do I not? She reads it. It was a beautiful story. And it kind of gave us an insight to Peter's backstory and his character a little bit because at 13, he lost his dad.
Yep.
And he, really struggled with that and not, I don't know, feeling like he belonged in the world and he just didn't know how to handle his grief.
And maybe so, he sounds like he had some challenges with drug and alcohol.
Two times in rehab,
exactly. Probably as a result to his father.
And he became, his attachments to other people, like
six months,
mm-hmm. You get a 6 month hard limit.
And this is the first, Deb was the only person in his life that wasn't that 6 month limit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think this guy, it helped give us an understanding to his backstory and where he's coming from. So I really liked that they pulled that part in.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge part, but it was enough to like help you understand who he was and where he's coming from.
Yeah. Why he didn't ever quite make that commitment or jump.
Exactly.
From friendship to, or even in the beginning, like solidifying, like, I like you. Mm-hmm. I want to be more than just friends. Yeah. And you find out later that he maybe wanted to tell her a few times that he maybe wanted more than friendship, but certain things came up, like she was pregnant and then
she started dating the guy
and then she's pregnant, so all these things kind of get in the way.
A good guy does step back at that point, like, so kudos to you, Peter.
Yes, that's true.
I thought it was interesting that we learned that Peter, you know, has just gotten by his whole entire life doing this whole schmoozy thing. But then he encounters his first real moment in life where that didn't work when he was trying to advise Deb's son.
That was kind of a great little relationship too, because, you know, he's used to talking people into doing stuff. And he's like, hey, Jack, you can make friends, right?
He's a schmoozy business person.
Yeah,
he's totally a schmoozer. And everyone's like, oh, you're my best friend now. Well, I was when I was, like, working that relationship because I needed to. But now I bought you.
I didn't really earn your friendship.
Yeah, it's like this was a surface friendship.
And he really had and wanted to earn Jack's friendship.
Yeah.
That, you know, because he keeps trying to like think of little nicknames that'll like bond them. And Jack's like, no, that doesn't work. Nope. That doesn't work either.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason that he fell in love with Jack, because I really think that they did create a strong bond.
Oh, I thought, I'll get into that in a little bit, but I thought their relationship was the best relationship in the whole movie.
I have to agree.
I loved it.
I did too.
So let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, I felt like I really wanted like Jack to accept Peter's as a role model, as a parent figure.
Yes.
Because Peter was trying so hard to be that for Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how can I help you be something that you want to be? Because obviously you want to have friends, you want to play hockey, you want, so let me try to make that happen for you.
Get you underneath the armor of those post-it notes.
Yeah.
Yes. How do we get rid of the post-it notes?
And let's just take a second to appreciate people who do a lot of post-it note type stuff in their life.
And all the other people that want to
throw the post-it notes out.
So
it's such a good balance.
Debbie is a very controlling parent.
I think that was the funniest part when he shows up.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a post-it note on almost every surface of that home.
Oh yes.
Explaining
urgent.
Everything's urgent. Like the toaster needs to be applied at like 30 seconds and he's allergic to almost everything on the planet and he has this routine and it's exhausting.
And Jack is like, okay, he follows suit. And even when Peter's like, so let's go, what is he like?
Let's go.
Or even like, should we watch a movie? I can't watch movies before
homework.
It's like, come on. How about this movie? How about Aliens? And he's like, I don't know.
Now, do you think he was trying, okay, let me just ask you this, because Ashton Kutcher. See, I'm doing it too. Denise, what's that?
Peter. It's hard to break
is
away.
A little bit of a schmoozer. I'm going to win your affection. I'm going to be like, hey. He was doing that a little bit too, but what I really liked in that relationship was a little bit of the dynamic of, this isn't a schmoozy relationship. This is a, okay, balanced, you know, like, I'm going to balance your mom. So you saw that those two together balance each other. Yeah. And through the interaction of the son, you realize how important and wonderful it was that these two people have been balancing each other their entire adult lives.
That's a good point. Yes.
And so you see that playing out in the son. But on the same note, too, you also see both of them, in a sense, realizing that each of them being on kind of an extremer edge of the pendulum was not the healthiest and best thing for them and the people around them. So, you know, you get Peter, who's kind of Mr. Schmoozer, and he's all like, oh, that's maybe not the best thing for people's heart's sake. But then you have him being this beautiful human who actually accepts that, you know, oh, I kind of screwed up. That wasn't the best thing in the situation. I love that moment the boys had in the bathroom where he goes, dude, I thought I was helping you out, but I put you in a really shit situation, and that sucked ass for you, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was huge.
Yeah.
And then you also have Reese with his
Debbie.
She's
the protagonist of the show.
Yes. Who you see her also. I don't think she has as much character growth, to be quite honest.
I know, because
show.
I don't understand her backstory at all. Do you guys understand
it's
her backstory?
It's not much.
It wasn't explained.
She had just a healthy childhood.
Yeah. I almost think that Ashton...
She's a helicopter mom. That's what I don't understand.
Is there a presumption
that mothers, single mothers, are helicopter moms?
Or? Ashton Kutcher's character was actually...
I could make up a backstory.
...developed more than Reese Witherspoon's, even
aspect,
though she was...
understand his backstory.
Yeah, I think that
and
they
you don't
kind
understand
of,
hers.
Well, I think part of that was because, I mean, it's a rom-com, so I think that they think, oh women are going to watch this, so women will just apply their own backstory to Reese Witherspoon.
Is that how it works? Because I can
apply explain it. Whereas, you know, so we can just like, we'll just assume we understand
her. I'm explaining her backstory.
Yeah. Whereas we want more for the guy because we can't explain him.
Men are unknowable pieces of shit.
So we have to justify why Peter is not, so he could actually be worthy
of knowing him,
of our friend Reese Witherspoon Deb affection in this story.
I hope Reese knows that she's gonna be our bestie someday.
Oh, she is. And Taylor Swift.
Don't ever leave out Taylor.
Yeah, never. Lisa, I've only known you for 12 forever.
Yeah.
Forever. So I know that.
I'm a knowable piece of shit. I love that he calls himself that the whole movie.
So, you know, they're never telling each other how they really feel, but I think they always love each other, and they're always nervous to, you know, they're nervous of rejection from
the
other. So they never quite go past the, hey, you're my friend. And they, you know, it's like overdone. Like, you're my best friend, and we talk every day. You're my best friend. But just my best friend.
So can I just,
like, you're my best friend. We talk about
for
every
a minute.
Day.
Yeah.
Because this is a part of the movie that I hated.
Yes. Okay.
Because I, like, the premise of the whole movie is that they have a 20-year friendship.
Yeah.
That's platonic.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not believe in that.
Okay.
I do not at all believe that in a relationship where there is a possibility for an attraction of the other partner, you can stay in a platonic relationship for that long time without an ulterior motive.
Mm. Yes. I
don't believe it's
possible. I don't know, Courtney and Lisa.
I don't know. If I was into
girls, I would totally want to be with you guys.
But I think you're right. You're right.
Let's go into that. Is this platonic or not? Just tell me what's going on. I need to know.
Lisa, you're right, but they did have
a platonic relationship.
They
have ulterior motives.
Yes. They love each other in another. It wasn't purely platonic. I think that they, well, obviously who they loved each who? Other. They loved each other. They wanted
At
each
the
other.
End, did you feel like Debbie had always had that ulterior motive with him?
No.
Because I think she was completely clueless to it.
I think so,
and
too.
And I think she was completely clueless to mm-hmm. any man that was interested in her.
Yeah, absolutely. Her,
yeah, that's
was,
true.
She,
right.
she was
yeah.
clueless because in her mind, all she was mom.
The literary editor, she had no idea.
Yeah, well, I mean, she still went to bed with him immediately. Like, there was some connection, but...
Yeah, but that
I think you're right. I think her goal and... prerogative was just to raise her child.
I am a mom. Mm-hmm. Be a mom. And that is the end all be all. But I didn't quite understand it.
I didn't either. I wish they would have explained a little bit more to you because I didn't understand her character arc as well because they didn't describe when she changed from I want to be in editing and I want to do all these things to I'm just a strict numbers person. I'm all about finance. And like, we don't know if that happened as a result of her becoming pregnant and realizing she was going to be a mom. It sounds like it happened before that.
Yeah.
It sounds like she gave up the dream of writing basically like
editing.
When and editing.
She
was an editor. He was a writer. She was an editor.
Yeah.
She gave up the dream of becoming an editor and doing all of that stuff when she
was
basically.
That her dream? I never got that.
Yeah,
really?
She wanted to be an
yeah.
editor.
She did. It was,
that.
And he refers to that too. That was like your dream and stuff like that.
Okay.
Basically, I think she gave that up when she decided to hook up with the mountain climber guy because she realized she had to be the responsible one in the relationship.
Okay. And so she put everyone.
And
first.
So she put everyone first. Now here's a question for you, knowing that that's her. Kind of her thing.
Yeah.
If she would have hooked up with Peter, young and dumb, wouldn't she have done that for and with him? Because she hadn't had that character growth yet. And did she have a lot of character growth?
I don't think so.
No. I mean,
I don't think she did as much either.
I think it's a big step, though, too, to be... to become less of a helicopter parent,
mm-hmm.
which she becomes. And then the big thing in the movie is, you know, it all comes to a head when Peter is like, yeah, Jack, I hear that you want to play hockey and this is a way for you to like reconnect with your friends. And we're just going to do it. We're not going to tell your mom. We're going to do it. And Debbie has the whole time told Jack, she's like, I don't want you to play hockey. It's
mm-hmm.
too dangerous.
Yeah.
So
she's a protective mom. I get it.
Overly protective.
Yeah. But, you know, it's sometimes,
hard.
Like, I think you have to let your children live a little bit, you know?
I wanted to understand that a little bit more, and I never felt like I got that.
They didn't do that as much.
Why exactly?
I think there was an assumption that all women are overly protective. And
mm-hmm.
so this just makes sense.
And that's exactly what I said. Like, I think that in writing this show, they were like, okay, women are going to be our ones who are watching this show for the most part. And the men who get dragged into having
to
watch it
with
them.
Part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get it. Because for sure, I've had plenty of moments in my life where
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not letting... I didn't want my child to play... My son to play football because
mm-hmm.
of
No, I didn't either. Same exact reason.
So I encourage swimming.
I encourage those things too. I encourage dance class.
Oh my god! You remember when we had the boys? They would wear their Spider-Man costumes.
Yep, they mm-hmm. they did dance. They did
mm-hmm.
choir.
Mm-hmm.
But they ultimately and what did they end up doing?
Football.
Lacrosse and football.
Godfrey.
At least it was
a rugby.
Oh.
Rugby is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I do know someone that died from a rugby incident.
Died in a rugby incident?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Brain bleed. Because they don't wear protective gear.
No.
And it's almost as brutal as football.
Yeah.
So like, you rugby players, man.
But I understand that.
If you can live through it.
I understand that piece of, though, sometimes you just got to let your kids do what they're passionate about because I mean, sometimes you got to, like, let them take those risks, too. I mean, You know, for me, I thought, I don't want the boys to play football, but they really wanted to.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, we'll give it a year and maybe they'll decide not to. No, they loved it. They loved it. They had their friends in it. And so I just crossed my fingers and hope for the best, you know?
But that, I think, as a mom, hardest thing to do is
to let your child fail. She never took that jump.
Yeah. She had to be forced.
Peter was in a good space because, I mean, although he really cared about Jack, he was in a little better perspective of saying, you know, like, I'm weighing
not to be like a brat here, but that was kind of a little bit like
overstepping
his, sure. Like, I mean, this is the first time he was with this kid. Right. He didn't know what this kid's capacities were.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some kids who I'd be like,
he was trying to be the dad he never had, is what I thought.
He was trying to be a little too cool.
But trying to be the friend instead of the parent.
But I have to say, like,
it was good.
Well, Jack obviously was not in a good space. He's depressed. He doesn't have friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Peter realizes it's all based in him not playing hockey.
And his mom being overly controlling.
Yeah, and I think Peter weighs that. He's like, I think it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to Debbie and help her understand this. So we're just going to go for it.
Yes.
The moment is now.
I'm going to create the scene. So she has to, it's going to be awkward for her to back out.
Yeah. I don't think he did it just, he might have been overstepping a bit, but I think he was doing it for
the right reason.
The right reason. I think he was feeling like he could talk to Debbie and help her understand that, you know, once Jack got in hockey and things were okay, like Debbie would go, okay, that's fine. But then the crescendo of this story is that he does play hockey, or he's trying out, and he has an accident and has a concussion. And they have to call Debbie, and Debbie freaks out and runs home.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do you know one thing that I thought was never played up, which I thought they were going to play up in the show, is there was this whole duel. She was doing something behind Pete's back with taking his story, giving it to a publisher, all of those things.
And almost making that publisher, or what did he call himself? He was a literary editor.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So what she wanted to be. And he was enamored by her and the story. And it helped that play out. And I think she was completely clueless to the fact that he was using this as a way to get closer to her.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's clueless about all of her admirers in life, which I don't understand, but.
Oh, really? Really, Lisa? Like, do we need to count how many people who are in love with you?
That's one.
So, point made.
Exactly. One. But so then you have that scenario going on, and you have Peter's scenario going on, and they're not actually telling each other everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it comes to a head. And like, I think she breaks because her child is hurt.
Yes.
He breaks because he's getting jealous of this potential
love
relationship.
Yeah.
He catches them on camera.
Yep.
And he knows that there's another, you know, potential suitor. Is that the word? That's not
suitor,
the word. We
suitor,
don't use that anymore.
Suitor.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's we'll go back to the 1800s. That's exactly what he was talking about.
Oh my God.
A gentleman of interest.
Oh my God. I don't even know what that's called, guys. What's the common lingo?
I think suitor.
Suitor. Let's go with it. I can't think of anything better.
Potential boy toy? I don't know.
Is fuckboy about a thing?
Yeah, but he wasn't a fuckboy.
No. Okay.
That guy, I think he really liked her. And I don't think he did that a lot.
I think he was devastated.
Because Jay had these amazing conversations about books and like, and parenting. And they had read like things that
they were finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, those two made more sense
like,
together.
I want to know if they farted in front of each other. Cause that's the real like make it or break it moment.
Well, here's
I feel like when you jog with a girlfriend and like,
when you run out of gloves,
cause you have to go to on the side of the road and your 50 cent gloves are already used in the equation and you have to ask your other friend for her 50 cent gloves. And I fell in love with, and she gives you that while you're running. And then also Courtney and I mean, we were jogging quite a few times and we both had to help each other out with poop situations.
Poops happen.
I don't understand running.
So maybe that's part of my best friend criteria is that we run together and had bowel issues.
Weird bowel issues.
Were you understanding of my digestive needs while going on jogs?
And were you understanding I actually hate jogging?
Oh, Courtney got me into jogging, and then Courtney was the one who worked me up to my 5 mile runs and stuff.
And then
Courtney, I was like, oh, Lisa, you never run 5 miles, and I'm like, Lisa, I've seen your cardio capacity; you can totally run 5 miles.
My cardio capacity.
So then I was just like, here's the problem with you, Lisa. You have your long, luscious legs are just too long and luscious.
I should be a runner, and yet I
And you're just trying to use them too big. I'm like, you need to do these like little like shorty girl strides. Like your pace is way too fast
for five miles. Just do shorter little paces.
Yeah, like you know, like
you don't need to use the whole baby steps
to the 5K, baby steps to the 5 miles.
Well, so how? Let's talk about like how realistic do you think this relationship was? I mean, I kind of think we talked about like maybe a friendship is not in to that extent for that long, but
so
I mean, like a long term relationship.
So but, according to our scale, because we're thinking long term on our scale, that's what we're referring to.
Now that they've identified that their sexual lovey-dovey interests, not just friends, how would that work? Because like honestly, like even if all of us were to decide to become lesbians, would we put ourselves in the forever category? I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like you can be great friends with someone and still not be great romantic life partners with someone.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like.
So, this is the thing, I like the movie and I like the characters, but I didn't think that they had chemistry together.
I didn't really feel a chemistry.
Is their relationship not going to happen? Not very likely. Neutral. Very likely. Or destined.
Well, if I was going just by the whole, I just think the actors in the movie didn't have chemistry. I mean, it lacked something.
They didn't have a lot of chemistry.
But they had
the friendship of a century, though. And who is it that tells me, marry your best friend? I've heard it from one person.
That one?
No.
Oh. I was just saying, that was not me.
They're not in this room, but I mean,
guys, I found a guy who can be like a girlfriend. Friend.
He's the male version of me, right?
He's like the male version of all of you lovelinesses mixed together.
That's a compliment.
It is a compliment to everyone involved.
I mean, I think that they're based on their past and not talking about how I felt about their like on screen chemistry. I think it's a long-term relationship.
I do want to know, can you marry your best friend and is that the way to go?
Yeah. Well, they had sex and they really liked it together.
So there was 20-year-old chemistry, but
yeah.
I think that sex alone isn't enough to keep a relationship going.
No, absolutely
not. No.
Understanding each other the way that a best friend would and still like flaws and all.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, I think that I really think that's the way to go.
I totally do.
Because like a best friend, you go through ups and downs.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You don't like dismiss the other person. You work on that relationship.
It's
and that's
so
important.
True.
And it's not to say that they didn't have sex. I mean, they probably did a lot and it was probably just fine.
Well, they only had sex one time.
Yes. But after that one time.
Yeah.
Or if they continue to have sex
with others.
Now, here's the question number two.
Oh,
here's
okay.
the question number
two. So, how likely are they to get together?
But let me ask you this.
I think they were destined, you guys. I'm going to give them a destined level.
What?
I'm a destined
which is
level.
Not
too.
Typical for me.
I know.
But
I
best
think obviously, they're
that
destined.
Never let anyone else in.
They both never
they were
let anyone else
out
in.
Out for each other.
Even her with her whole rock climber dude, I think that was just a. Okay, well, this guy says that he's not available. I'll believe him.
Yeah.
And so I'll just keep myself open to this other thing. And she picked a guy who she knew was actually not available.
Yeah.
You know, the rock climber guy was a guy she knew was not actually available.
Because she was always holding out for something.
Because she was kind of holding out for something.
So, okay.
The what do you think of
destined.
Destined.
So what's the sex...
How sexy was this movie? How spicy was it?
I feel like
should we go over the scale?
There's only one sex scene, and it was between Debbie and
Theo.
Yeah,
you got it this time.
Yes, I'm like, oh, it's not Jesse.
Who were these as Theo? As
I thought characters?
It
was pretty hilarious that they were just kind of like going from the okay, we had a great night tonight, and I didn't see the chemistry building throughout their night. I saw the friendship building and they get along and stuff like that. But like, as far as the sexual, I didn't sense any sexual tension very much.
You
very
can show yourself
bit.
Out, right?
Hmm?
You can show yourself out, right?
Yeah.
That's how the,
oh, yeah.
how it ended. And it's like, okay, so maybe I'll see you, maybe I won't. Like when
yeah.
someone says that to you after a...
She was very much
like, oh,
okay,
I gotta go. And
well,
I can't tell
you
exactly
you
why, but
mode.
I'm late, but I gotta go. But you can see yourself out. Goodbye.
Exactly.
Yeah, she was definitely like, do you want a juice box?
Yeah.
So spicy, green pepper, jalapeno, cayenne, habanero, ghost.
I'd say...
Jalapeno. So I'm giving it two.
Yeah,
it's
not
very.
It's
a
two.
Little bit, but
mm-hmm.
not spicy.
Well, how fast people ended up in bed was pretty. Like, okay, that made it a jalapeno. I'm like, whoa, these people like doesn't like.
That was another thing that I was like, I don't know if I understand this.
Yeah,
because
yeah, it didn't fit with
your
character.
First date, you get into bed. Is that normal?
And
or
she apparently for her it is.
But
because
well, so
she had sex the first night she met. Peter,
yeah, but
they
she hadn't had sex for a long time, so maybe she was just like, I feel like maybe I need to have sex. Maybe. I'm
oh
like,
yeah, yeah. I
this
agree,
is right.
Yeah.
This is right in front
and
of me.
And I don't have any kids around. Yeah, exactly.
Let's
she,
do it.
There
like,
are no
and,
string attached.
And the hilarious thing was is that for her, I think it was just that. Oh, this is a great opportunity to have sex, vacation sex.
Yeah.
And for him, he's all like, I really like this woman.
Yeah.
So I felt kind of bad for him. I felt really
too.
Bad for him. I really liked
him. Because she meets him in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think I need to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he's going to tell her that he really likes her. And
he even does.
I mean, she's like, I might even be able to get you a job here. Would you feel like maybe
yeah,
would you want to live
yeah.
here?
And I
and
would
I
offer, I love,
yeah.
I love, I respect you as an editor, but I don't think I should hire you because
oh,
I think I want to date you.
Face. He's like, you know, you can just
oh,
see.
Oh, I
want to
date him. Like, I want to date him.
Oh my
I
God.
Kind of wondered if they should have ended up together.
I almost liked him and her better together than I
there
did her and Ashton Kutcher.
Chemistry there.
Yeah, it made a little bit more sense to me.
Peter. But is that because they've known each other for 20 years?
Maybe.
I think they might have friend zoned each other a little bit too much.
Of the editors?
No.
Peter and Debbie.
I mean, so like, I'm all for the marry your best friend thing, but I also kind of almost think in some senses, like, I don't know, you can kind of friend zone someone. So, like, you know, if like, I felt like, whoa, they might have friend zoned each other a little bit too much. I like to lose things.
Apparently. So my favorite line is. Debbie's like says in the very beginning, she says to Peter, "Happy birthday, younger person." And Peter says, "What? We're the same age." And Debbie says, "Not in lady years. I'm a crone, and somehow you'll still be considered sexy at
right.
70, no matter how wrinkled and bald you get. So congratulations." And Peter says, "I'll admit it. It's a good day."
I love that because it's so true. Why do women spend so much time and money trying to be younger and more beautiful, and men should just great like age so gracefully, and like they're all still
and they're sexy. I hate to tell you this, like I mean, like Clint Eastwood, that dude's sexy. Pierce Brosnan, that man's hot.
Yeah, but so is Julianne Moore.
That's true.
Meryl Streep. I think they're near the same age.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
If we're going to compare in contrast.
Yeah. And in this
movie. And I
don't
think that they've done a lot. I think that just they've all grown in their confidence in who they are.
Yeah, that's
true. And so
that's
hot as hell. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a societal idea.
Yeah, I'm putting that on. But because I don't actually know any of them. Just to set the record straight. And Taylor and I are not best friends.
I mean, in my heart of hearts, like, I'm like, I know, like, she would want me because, like, duh.
So true. I cannot remember Debbie's best friend's name. The one with the coffee.
It is. I have it right here. I can't remember because I like her so much.
Know.
Alicia. So,
Alicia.
My favorite line is, you know, it's the morning drop off and Alicia comes over to Peter and they're just like, how are things going? And Peter's like, being this male life-changing male role model is hard. I wrote this line in the dark and I can't remember one half. And she says, I think you're just supposed to keep him alive. You're not a life-changing role model. You're just getting him through the day. He's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, oh, that just kind of captured his feelings about, you know, Jack. Because mm-hmm. that truly was my favorite relationship in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. It was adorable.
It was adorable.
He likes my leg. Oh my gosh. He keeps like straddling and going, ow.
You know, wow. What can I say? I've trained my dogs to really make guests feel at home.
He's doing a good job.
Oh my gosh. That's so
would we recommend this movie?
I would recommend it.
I liked
it.
Cute.
So I think it's great too.
I would let my grandma watch it. I would let my kids watch it. Lover. So Brad and I watched some of it because I had to watch it in installments because it's just time. And I did ask him, like, so what are your thoughts? Oh, the red bucket.
I know, so I mean,
sorry.
So I get the barking and
I always call it the lipstick.
The lipstick. I just tell you something, I'm a little offended right here. Like, I wined and dined him. I gave him the cheese.
And now he's looking at Courtney.
He's looking at Courtney with the red rocket. I bought you dinner, bitch.
He's like,
but he's not a bitch.
He's
actually
with the walking boot. She can't get away.
He's like, how can I make this work?
And now he's looking at me
like, what if I straddle this leg this way? I'm
gonna
like,
oh, he is. He just went to reach his leg over. He looked at me for more cheese, and then when I had no more cheese, he gave me this like, what? If you want me to straddle you, do you have more cheese?
Yeah.
Look, and then he seriously went over to you.
I'll give you the red lipstick.
Oh, look,
you
he's
give
going.
Me look.
Oh, Courtney.
So hot. Katie, put it away. So
we don't want to see your red lipstick.
I love this movie. I would recommend it.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I will say I love to hear Brad's perspective.
Oh, yeah, what's his perspective?
Because I was like, just tell me your overall perspective. He's like, oh, the characters were too perfect. That's why I couldn't do it.
Really? I mean, rehab a couple of times, and she was obnoxious with post-it notes.
Yeah, she had lots of hang-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's his general sense of rom-coms. Is that everything is set up too perfect?
Maybe, yes.
The setups are too Scooby-Doo-ish.
And so it's like, oh, man. But they did dive deep. I wish they would have dived a little deeper because I still don't understand Debbie.
I still don't understand Debbie either.
That's just Debbie. And maybe that's just her personality. Like, she was born over the top.
Yeah.
And so
that's just how she
But we love up. People like that.
Valerie, we do.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, we do.
Valerie understands the post-it note
fetish. Courtney, not at all. I'm in the middle.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Well, I enjoyed it.
It was cute.
Yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
Well, if you want to talk more about movies with us, just stay tuned and you can
Or romance. We do books too.
Okay. We love your letters. Please send us your romance.
Yes.
I know. I want to hear real romance stories. Not the rom-com. Not the perfect ones.
No.
I think some of the sexiest stories are the ones where people actually grow together.
Yes. Yeah.
And growth usually doesn't happen when things are all comfortable.
Or where, like, it's like, holy smokes, how did these two people ever meet? Like, yeah. I love that, the shock of it. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So please tell us.
Yeah. And go to My Perfect Romance and you can find a link to email us and check out socials.
And please subscribe.
Subscribe, rate, review.
Yes. Thank you.
Whatever all that means.
We love you. Thank you.